about to find out. Welcome into the roundtable here. Bill Priest alongside the aforementioned Thomas Wasson. Tony Mulva here as well. We're going to talk about a subject. I think, gentlemen, we've had the idea, of course, that a lot of people say we've hit the bottom and we may be recovering. Of course, we're going to look at this long L-shaped recovery at this point, particular time. But if you've made it this far, are you going to make it all the way through? And it's an interesting idea to kind of take a look, time to take a look at this and see where things are in terms of if you're doing okay. I mean, if you have, obviously, if you're not, you know, dredging the bottom right now, but if you're doing okay, are you going to do okay? Thomas, what do you think?
If you're heavily exposed to contract, you're probably going to make it. I mean, statistically, you're dealing with incremental downward moves. We look at contracted rates. They're moving at a much lower pace. If you're exposed to the spot market, though, this is like a sugar high. Right now, rates are going up. Capacity is leaving the market for the holidays. There's money to be made. But come January, every seasonal chart we look at, it goes back down. You're going to crash out. So if you weren't prepared before and hoping that Christmas would save you, probably not.
Tony, what do you think?
It's one of those things. It depends on how you're operating.
Yeah.
If you're operating at 100 OR right now, it's hard, or 100 plus OR, right?
Yeah.
It's hard to see it. When you get to the first quarter, like now, if you're an owner operator or small carrier and you know your operating expenses and you've been able to operate profitably for the last, call it 9 months or so, if you're able to do that and can really withstand the next, what, 4 months, say get into April of next year, then yeah, I think you're probably okay. The problem is the overall market still needs to burn capacity off. Like that theme hasn't changed in any way, and it's still happening. So it kind of does go into, if everybody's in that same boat and thinks they can get through it, it just kind of prolongs this,
yeah,
this tail at the end, right?
Still have the surplus that's out there.
Exactly.
Yeah. Thomas, you brought some charts here. What do you want to show us?
Let's toss up the first one, which is the forecast. What are we looking at? It's the NTIF 28-day outlook. It's going up. So this is a seasonal bump. This is a seasonal pattern that we typically see. Right now, if you look at the green line, it doesn't look that way yet. But if you're looking at as capacity is leaving, we can have a little bit of a delay. And so this is something to watch because this is going to set us up for what comes down, which is our later charts giving us a seasonal view over the past 4 years.
Okay, go ahead. Let's jump to the next one here.
Let's look at, so you're thinking, okay, this is great. Let's go kick it over to our CLAV, CLAV, which is our contracted load acceptance volume. So let's look at the contract market real quick. You know, we are typically overperforming. We're looking really strong on volumes moving into the end. But if you notice on the far right, volumes are still dropping. This is typical. We're dropping up to the holidays. But on the very far left, I know it's a little bit obscured, but we typically see in terms of seasonality, it bleeds off through February and March. So that's the second thing to look at. The third one is line haul rates, because what could save you? I'm going to be an optimist here. Line haul rates is fuel. If fuel continues to go down, the NTIL, line haul only, that's basically the average retail price of diesel divided by 6.5 miles per gallon. That's what we remove from it. You see the situation where we're really just hovering right around 2019 levels. And I think that one thing to watch for is for those carriers who are saying, can I still make it? If fuel prices fall, if winter conditions are favorable, that may be the thing that gives them that little bit of working capital to make it.
Tony, what do you see out of these charts here?
Yeah, I mean, I think Thomas is spot on that spot rate, this bump that we'll see is short term in nature. And then you look at the contract load acceptance. I think the question's going to be how aggressive are carriers? Because it ultimately, when carriers go through bids, and a lot of those bids will be implemented at the beginning of the year, how aggressive were they? And because when we look at this, we don't have rejection rates here, but if you look at rejection rates right now, they're 4.29%. But I mean, overall, they've been hovering sub 4% really for much of the year. When you look at that, carriers are going to be fighting to become number one on the routing guide because they know that they ultimately it's a volume game at the end of the day. And volume's there, but you need to be higher on the routing guide when you're at 4% or 3%. Odds of that freight falling through the routing guide are very small, right? I mean, if you take 97% acceptance rate of the first tender, so that's 3%. You take 97% of 3%. It's not falling to, say, if you're third on the routing guide. Odds of you finding that freight, like, it still happens, but it's very, very slim. So I think that's going to be what's interesting as we move forward is on the contract side, is how aggressive did these carriers get in their rate reductions to get to, I know in 2019, we talked about it. We were at like $2 a mile. I think when you take out contract rates or right around it, I mean, if we got back to those levels, you're talking another 15% rate reduction from where we currently are. That doesn't seem possible, but I mean, realistically, if you're still in that mid single digits, you're talking another 10 cents from here, 10 cents a mile. If the, like Thomas said, the fuel aspect does play an important cost.
I would like to congratulate you for taking my next question word for word and answering it before I even asked it. So I'm going to go to this guy over here. So what do you think? How aggressive do are carriers, especially from in the contract perspective, but also going forward in terms of maybe you lost a few lanes, maybe you didn't want to run these. How quickly do you get back into this?
Well, it's slow moving if you mess up on your contracting bid. I've seen That's it before. True. I've seen situations where a large carrier that decided to make these decisions gave themselves slack. They said they'd fill it with special project freight and other ad hoc opportunities. Ended up tanking their network. It's a never-ending thing where you have to fill the bucket, so to speak. And so one of the things we really need to watch out for is service what you have. If you're that incumbent carrier, you're up there, but you know these other carriers are going to go after you. If you go for the king, don't miss. Right now, service levels are going to be huge because shippers are very much still in the driver's seat. That's the second thing to remember. Carriers don't have a lot of say. So right now, the question is, if I'm the pricing, the CEO, and these folks who are looking at our budgets for 2024, I already know I'm going to maybe lose 5 to 10% off the top line. I have to adjust. So the ones who are going to be winning right now before the market turns are who are the ones who gave themselves enough slack, who has enough operating margin, enough padding to be able to absorb this hit, and then can they be fiscally responsible enough with their customer mix to make the right decisions and not decide to bid on lanes that don't fit their network or overcommit. Brokers are the ones I am more worried about. Carriers, if enough of them go out, those brokers who have more contract penetration, this could open up a potential for those brokers who were the primary incumbent on a lane. Maybe there's an opportunity for these carriers who did screw the pooch on their RFPs to jump in, because when the market flips, the brokers will be in a weird situation. Do I keep losing for the next 6 months in terms of that bid I just got? Or do I start handing it back and start cycling it?
Tony, let's play the cat and mouse game here in terms of the aggressive point that you brought up. If your competitors are aggressive, does that mean that you have to be aggressive?
I mean, to the extent that you have to know, if you know your operating expenses, then you know what you can kind of, that like Thomas said.
I mean, is this,
like,
one of those plays where you can kind of move your competitors out of the market if you're aggressive enough quickly enough?
I don't know. It's hard because, I mean, you're bidding on so many lanes, right?
Yeah.
I mean, think of how many lanes and opportunities are out in the market and customer mixes. I mean, your largest carriers, they all have very, I don't want to say similar customer bases, but they all do some work with all of these customers because from a shipper perspective, you're not getting siloed into a single carrier, right? You want to diversify your network because you take it, de-risk you, right? Mm-hmm. From changes in the market. So to that extreme, I don't think it's one of those, you don't get so aggressive that you put, because if you get too aggressive, you're going to put yourself at risk and not necessarily your competitors. And look at how many competitors there are in the space, right? I mean, look at how many fleets there are and trucking authorities. Like you're going one against what, a few 100,000? Good luck getting aggressive enough that you're going to put yourself more at risk than anybody else. I think the thing to look for really in 24 is what happens to the back half of the year. The first half of the year, you can almost see we're going to be oversupplied and the market from a demand perspective might be okay. It's okay right now. Too much capacity puts downward pressure on rates, but it's going to bleed off capacity. The back half of the year is going to be what's more interesting. And if pockets of tightness start popping up, that's where you need to look. Is it may not all happen on a national level at once, right? We might not go from this loose, oversupplied market to a very tight market, but there might be pockets where the market gets very tight very quickly. And if a shipper is not ready for it, that's where you're going to have advantages.
Real quick, what do you think about the second half of this?
You're a mega national carrier. You're not going to walk into a Walmart or a P&G and undercut and take it, because they're going to look at you weird as well if you come in 10 cents lower than the par.
Right.
You have thousands of trailers. You have trailer pools. Large nationwide carriers, they're going to be okay. But if you screw it up as an incumbent, you had to have done something wrong. It's like losing an election. Incumbents have advantages in political sciences. So do carriers on lanes. There is an incumbent advantage because of the effort it takes to get rid of your butt. So yeah, looking into this back half of the year, the reason you can't just waltz right in with the rate and decide to go dirty cheap as a nationwide carrier is because they're going to look at you weird and laugh, and they're going to assume, what is your ulterior motive? Because when that market flips, like Tony said, are you going to be the first one to hand it back?
Yep. It's going to be very interesting. Of course, you know, if you've done your risk and paid it off, look like you could be making some major serious moving forward. Otherwise, you could be on the back end of something bad, unfortunately. We'll take a short break and come back with more Fort Lewis Now after this.